Blog Talk Radio.
My soul is lost, so lonely and so cold, just like a month as well. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, this Luke 4:17-19. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And today we want to look at the little phrase, "He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives." The latest statistics show that the prison population of the state of New York is 1,403,091. And the thought hit me, we're all prisoners. The whole lot of us. Not just that 1,400,000. You know, many of those who are in a physical prison are free, even though they're inside of a barbed wire fence. And many who are outside of that barbed wire fence are not free. You see, every one of us is a captive, is a prisoner. Every person is imprisoned or captivated by someone or something. And I was singing the songs this morning were appropriate because they talked about us belonging. You know, the scripture says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. We belong. We belong to someone. And then it says that Jesus came to proclaim deliverance to the captives. The word translated captive or prisoner is eikmalatos, and it means a prisoner of war. Not just a prisoner, but a prisoner of war. Someone who has been captured. And again, we've all been captured by someone or something. We can be captives to work. We know of workaholics. We can be captured by liquor or drugs or sex or pride or family or God even. We're all prisoners. But who's prisoner? Jesus, as we noticed in the last 2 weeks, was sent and he is here. He is here to proclaim deliverance to the prisoners, to the captives. And proclaim is to make a proclamation declaring that something is. That something is a reality. It's not a discussion, but a declaration. Deliverance means pardon, forgiveness, freedom. Again, I want to say, every one of us is a captive. Everyone. The question is, who or what has captivated us? And I begin to think of all the captors there are. And there are lots. But I'd like to share with you some of the worst captors. And then the best captor. Some prisons are totally binding. Others are totally liberating. So these are not the top four or anything, but I think they are representative. And I believe maybe the worst tyrant in the world is self. Self is the worst tyrant. There is no despot that is so bondage-driven as self. See, isn't it true that our self is ever so valiant to polish its image that it keeps us bound to do all that'll make us shine? Do this, don't do that. Go here, but don't go there. Spit and polish, lie, sneak, deceive, justify. Do anything to make yourself look good. And one of the cleverest ways to make yourself look good is to point at everybody else's faults. So you make you look good by making others look bad. The problem is, you got to really work at this to keep your story straight. Self. So if you spell self backwards and add an H, you have flesh. The world's worst tyrant. And many of us have been some of us may still be, in bondage to self. Another big one is religion. It is said that there is no prison so binding as religion. In a way, religion is sort of a corporate self. Lots of do's and don'ts. You know, tithe, read the Bible, pray, go to church, keep the law. Those are all good things. But it's step two, maybe, or three or four, but not one. And we've learned in the church to do all sorts of busy work that will prevent us from having an intimate relationship with the living God. When our relationship with God is living and vital, tithing, reading the Bible, praying, going to church, won't be a problem. It'll just be a natural response that grows out of the relationship and no longer a bondage. Today we are told to make the church culturally relevant. What we're supposed to be doing is making the culture biblically relevant. We are told to be tolerant of any and everything. How many of you read the church page in the Times? Okay, one, all right. Should read it, because maybe we'll throw a special service in there sometime. You won't know about it. But this, did you notice this week's edition has got a lot of weird little religious news items. So if you still got it, well, don't waste your time on it. I'll tell you. There's a new book you should not buy, because this author, there's a little blurb about this long, and I can describe him to you in one word: universalism. There's no heaven, there's no hell. You just make your choices, and you make the best of it you can right here, you know, and then when it's over, you know. It's like the poem about the dog, see? I had a little dog. His name was Rover. And when he died all over. Well, that's what we're trying to do. It isn't so. It isn't so. But you see, this guy is saying, well, God is love. And love conquers everything. Which is true, isn't it? Love conquers everything. But it's not this emotional, ooey-gooey, a reworking of the philosophy about 20 years ago, I'm okay, you're okay. And it's true what Paul is saying. God loves us the way, just as we are, which is true. But I also like how Max Lucado puts the second part to that in the title of his book: God loves you the way you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. Because God is at work in our lives to bring us into the likeness of Christ. And so much of what is going on in the world, Lee Church, is keeping us from Christ's likeness and making us more like the world, so that we can be very pluralistic. Be tolerant of anything and everything. All right, religion is a tight prison. Then immorality. is another big prison, isn't it? Immorality. We now have been told that we have established an amoral society. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing right, it's whatever seems good to you. That's what it is. And so nothing is right, nothing is wrong. There are no absolutes, there is no standards. We've come full circle, I think, to where Israel was at the end of the book of Judges, where everybody did what was right in his own eyes because there was no king. And so today things are based on one's wants or feelings, a disregard for God and for the Word of God, and that leads to perversions. But we say, oh, you know, we're free. But have you noticed all these various things somehow require us to justify them? Today we call it people living together. There really is no living. The old term of shacking up described it much better. And, you know, changing the terminology doesn't change the imprisonment. And it's the same with homosexuality. It is unnatural and it is ungodly. And yet we say, oh, no, it's just an alternate lifestyle. Isn't it something, you know, we end up trying to justify all these things. Now we say, now the governments have decreed that gay and lesbian marriages are okay. Well, the government may say that, but God doesn't. And God is the one that counts. Adultery is viewed as normal behavior. I suppose if you're in that prison, it's normal. But that's the prison from which Jesus has come to proclaim deliverance. Did you know in this country now, more than half of all babies born, and that's no counting of abortions, but more than half of babies born are from adulterous relationships, not from a normal family. Divorce and remarriage are common, but it's still not the biblical norm. See, it's a prison. It's a prison. And every turn we have to justify those who are, those in gay lesbian marriages, for example, justify, oh yeah, it's our right. But you know, have you ever heard anybody try to justify the fact that they have a heterosexual marriage? We don't have to justify that which is right. It stands on its own. But all the things that are amiss, we have to make it sound good. Well, I don't want to go into all of this sort of stuff, because there's a whole bunch of prisons. Power is a big prison, isn't it? Prestige is a big prison. Pride, soulishness. Soulishness is the world's greatest deceiver. Power is the world's greatest slave driver. I mean, you could just see all these sort of things. So, from these prisons, Jesus has come to declare deliverance, release. He has come to spring the lock on the door to set us free. It is even more dramatic than the angel who came and released Peter out of that prison back then in Jerusalem. I want us to listen to these words from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 6. Okay, listen. I'm reading from verses 16 all the way to 23, I guess. Know you not that to whom you present yourselves as slaves unto obedience, his slaves you are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But thanks be to God that whereas you were once servants, slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as slaves unto uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were the slaves of sin, you were free in regard of righteousness. But what fruit then did you have of the things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you have become slaves of God, and you have your fruit unto holiness and the end eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we are slaves to whoever we obey, whether it's of sin that leads to death, or of obedience that leads to righteousness. So we're all slaves. But the question is, whose slave are we? Whose prisoner are we? Who holds us captive? So I want to finish up and look at another slave owner, prisoner, and that's Jesus Christ. He is the world's greatest liberator. When we are bound to Jesus, when we are his prisoners, then we are really free. Didn't Jesus himself say, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. But we are free because we belong to Christ. We're not free because we're out here on our own somehow. So we're either bound prisoners or free prisoners. Look at the letters that Paul wrote. He was proud to identify himself as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a high honor for him to identify himself as the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can understand that it's a wonderful relationship to be the slave, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. We can say, Jesus has captured my heart and my life, and now I belong to him. Jesus is here to proclaim deliverance to all who are captives of any captor other than Jesus Christ. Back to Romans 6, it says that we who were once the slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to Christ Jesus right. And his word. And being set free from sin have become the slaves of righteousness. See, we don't like the word slave because it's sort of derogatory. But it's a wonderful concept to be enslaved to Jesus, to be addicted to godliness and holiness and righteousness. That's the liberating imprisonment. How does it become real for us? That question is also answered here in Romans. It says, before you came to Christ, you were obedient. And thus you were slaves to unrighteousness, of sin, or addictions. But it says, now, being set free, just as you gave yourself to do evil, now give yourself to do good. It's a decision, isn't it? I yield, he's one of my members, my hand. So I yield my member of my hand, yield my hand to bless rather than to swat. It's a decision, isn't it? Almost the same movement. But the motivation is way different. So just as you once, it says, presented your members to leading to more unrighteousness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, which leads to holiness. So I guess we can say, now that we have been set free from sin and have become slaves or the prisoners of God, the fruit we get leads to greater holiness, and the end thereof, it says, is eternal life. I do want to say quickly, a lot of people say, well, then I can do anything I want. It didn't say that. We're still bound. But we're bound to Jesus. And it's no longer I will live or Christ who lives in me. Look at all the promises that God gives us about this kind of enslavement. It's not evil. It's a wonderful calling to belong to Jesus, to be the bond slave of Jesus, to be his prisoner. Because every one of us who is born again, filled with the Spirit, have the life of Christ within us, are prisoners of war. Jesus captured us. He captured us right out of the grasp of Satan and brought us into a new relationship. That's how it is in any war, isn't it? Those that are captured become the slaves of the captor. Jesus won the victory at the cross, and he took captives. And we who know the Lord today need to rejoice that we were captured and were taken as prisoners of war and made new people. We need to praise God for such a victory, that we belong to Jesus. We've been delivered out of the ways of the world. We've been set free in Christ. Not to do whatever we want, but to do that which is pleasing to God. He gave us that freedom, to do that which delights the heart of God. You see, in this Christian life, we're not fighting for victory. We were given the victory, and now we stand in that victory. Father, we pray that it be so real for us, not just talk, but real for us, that we've been delivered from the bondages in which the world and culture would hold us, so that we can be bound eternally to Jesus, to belong to him, and to belong to one another in this body that is the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we ask that you will guide us day by day, not to try to hang on to stuff, but to yield it to you, that we might be free, free as the bond slaves of Jesus, to walk in your ways. So, Lord, thank you for making us your captives, your prisoners, your slaves, that we might serve you in righteousness all the days of our life. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.